I was telling the folks at the hymn sing that some of the greatest sermons that was ever preached is in the hymnals of our church, if you'll only take time to read them. They're all personal testimonies. We are in a time of the year where we have three major religions, Muslim, Judaism, and Christianity. And it's very unique that the whole world stops. You know, in the Muslim faith, they talk about Jesus, you know. In the Jewish faith, they recognize that the coming of Messiah was going to be near. Didn't realize until later that Messiah was Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. So now, on the particular calendar, now you have the Festival of Lights. You know what the antidote is for darkness? Light. If you ever get a chance and you really want to experience darkness, go out here to the caverns in Mariana and go down into that cavern with the tour guide. And when he turns off those lights, that's darkness. And then he'll flick a bit, so to speak, a little tiny match or whatever, and the whole room just lights up because light is the antidote to darkness. So Christ came into the world, but years and years ago, the Jewish people experienced the thing, and they call it the Festival of Lights, or commonly known as Hanukkah. And I have the menorah on here. I don't light it because the candles are real short and they've been run out very quickly. Then we have the Advent wreath with the Christ candle in the middle. And we were, for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about something special that led up to the birth of Christ. So now, next week, in our scriptures reading, we're going to talk about Christ when he first went to church, about 12, 13 years old, something like that. So what he did is he grew up, experienced a lot of things in his early years as he grew in wisdom and stature, as the Bible talks about. And then in their tradition, at that age, they go to church to be dedicated. Well, they did that. But when it was time to go home, they couldn't find Jesus. You know, he was nowhere around to be found. And they finally found him. They said, why, we couldn't find you? He said, well, did you know I would be about my Father's business? So then later on, he met John the Baptist, and you know some of the story. He was revealed to the world. We got something special coming up, January the 6th on the church calendar, it's Epiphany, when Christ was revealed to the world. And then he ministered. He went around encouraging people, healing the sick, and all that, and just a wonderful, wonderful time. He had a wonder. If any of you follow the series The Chosen, you can get an animated version of what took place. It was a wonderful thing. And I like to say we need to sometimes let our imagination run wild. Not fake imagination. Good. And put yourself in those places where Jesus walked. And if you ever get a chance, go to Israel and walk where Jesus walked. You'll see the scriptures come alive. It's like having a script of a play and it'll come alive. Now they're finding more and more and more things that verify the Word of God. So they ministered and they went everywhere. And it was getting to be Passover time. And one of the things that they do is they gather for a ceremony to celebrate being delivered out of bondage in Egypt. When the death angel passed over, when they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and when the death angel came, it passed over them. And they made it out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years, but it was a wonderful time. So they said, we need to celebrate. So we have what we call Passover. So they were gathering in a place called the Upper Room, and it really is an upper room in downtown Jerusalem where this took place. You and I were blessed to go there one of the times that we was over there. And the meal was prepared. And in the meal, it tells a story about all the different things that they experienced. Betty and Phil do a wonderful version of that sometimes that we in the Passover with the different foods and so forth. But they celebrated it. So they knew the celebration, and Jesus arrived, and they did the Passover meal. But then he did something special that they didn't quite understand at the time. When it came time for the breaking of the bread, Jesus took the bread, broke it, and he lifted it to heaven. O King of the universe, thank you for the fruit of this wheat. And then he said something to him as he broke it. He said, this will represent my body, which will be broken for you. Take, eat all of this. And then he did something real, real special that kind of freaked him out, because he took the cup. There's four cups of wine in the Passover meal. And the third cup, if I remember right, is the cup of redemption. I like to call it the cup of salvation. So they're going through telling the story, and he lifted the cup. O God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, bless this cup. And then he said to them, this cup will represent the blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for the forgiveness of sin. Gather often and do this in remembrance of me. So we have a wonderful celebration of his birth. And then we know that Christ then went to the cross and he was crucified. And while he was on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A very almost word-for-word portrayal of the prophecy that was in Psalm 22. And you often wonder, well, if he was God and he was such a... why did God forsake him? But he didn't. But that brief moment, Jesus felt that separation from God. Because when God looked upon Christ on the cross, he was in the presence of sin, and God couldn't be in the presence of sin. But when Jesus gave up the ghost, shed his blood, like they did on the post, when Jesus shed his own blood, the price was paid for your sins, my sins, all the sins of the world, and now 2,000 odd years plus, we celebrate that in something that we call Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, or the Last Supper, a lot of different names for it. But we celebrate it. It's a time of memorial to remember what Christ has done for us, something we couldn't do for ourselves. The forgiveness of sin, which gives us entrance into the throne of grace for eternal life. Because every one of us, unless Christ comes for us in the rapture, I do believe in the rapture, I think it'll happen. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's okay, because if we die a natural death, guess what? We go to heaven. So either way, we win because of what Christ has done for us. Because we're all going to experience physical death unless he comes for us first. It's just part of life. But then you think, well, golly, what about all this stuff I learned while I was here in this world and different things? Because he wants well-trained saints in heaven to return with him when he returns to set up his kingdom on earth. And if you want to hear that story, it's one chapter, 26 verses, at that little book of Jude, which was... James was Jesus' half-brother. Jude was Jesus' half-brother. And it goes back to what I was talking about with testimony. Eyewitnesses. There was an eyewitness by the innkeeper of what took place in Bethlehem. The disciples were eyewitness to miracles. They were all eyewitnesses. You go to a court of law you need to present a defense. You need eyewitnesses to testify for you. That's why Luke and all the Gospels, it's just a wonderful thing, this thing called Christ's Mass. It's a worship service celebrating what Christ has done for us.